He's a Savior and Lord, isn't He? We're going to see Him very soon, I think. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. How many got a few spots or wrinkles on you? Who's going to remove those spots and wrinkles? Huh? Who's going to remove your spots and wrinkles? Only the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And He will do it. Because God is glorious and because He's faithful to His covenant. That He said He will remove every spot and wrinkle from us. Isn't that exciting to know? That's something that we can't do and don't need to do. But we couldn't do it if we wanted to. But He has done it and He will continue to do it as we look to Him and say, Lord, I've got some more wrinkles, some more spots. And He'll just say, well, put your eyes on Me. Put your eyes on Me and I'll remove them when you're looking at Me. And that's exciting. So we're going to see our Lord Jesus. You know, a lot of times you think about it, you think, I don't know if I'm real enough. Have you ever thought that? You know, I wish I were more real. Sometimes we find ourselves being vain and worldly and we just get our eyes preoccupied and so on. And you wonder, well, will I be clean enough when He comes? One day I was really with the Lord, and then the next day I wasn't with the Lord. How many have ever thought that? You know, and you just kind of wish you could stay in Him all the time, but you're not sure. This is not something you can do. Whenever you find yourself wondering whether you're in Him or not, just look to Jesus and remember His words that He will do it. He will do it. If we could keep ourselves, we didn't need Jesus. But we can't, and we never did. But He did, and we believe that. And because we believe that, we just celebrate that. We don't have to look back or worry about it or wonder about it. He will fulfill His word. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when we see Him face to face, we're going to look just like Him. And you know, you're going to say, well, gee, I'm prettier than I thought. You know, I'm cleaner than I thought. I didn't know if I was going to look this well. But God loves you so much that even when we were yet sinners, even when we hated Him, when we were enemies of God, He sent His Son to die for us. And so each of us have experienced that, the impotence that we have, and yet the power that God has in us, through us, for us, as us, in every way to take care of everything. I like that kind of God. How about you? Someday, face to face. I believe it's going to be very soon. I don't think we'll see the next century, personally. I believe it's going to be in, what is it now, 87. I believe in about 10 years, as far as I'm concerned. That's as long as my insurance policy goes. I believe we're going to see the Lord. We're going to see the people that have gone before us. And that's a great joy, to be reconciled and to be reunited with the saints that have gone before us, who have prayed for all those centuries to have a church on the earth that would really glorify God. And many of them have gone home not seeing the promise fulfilled. And I believe that we are the generation that will see the promises fulfilled. Hallelujah. Amen? There's a big job ahead of us, but I believe we're able because He has spoken, because He is able. Amen? So you can be part of it. Don't look at your own weakness. You remember Abraham? It said when Abraham was told that he was going to have children as numberless as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore, it said he didn't look at his own body. He didn't say, you know, well, I'm almost 100 years old now, and my wife's 99 or something, or whatever her age was. 89, wasn't she 89? He didn't regard what he saw. He didn't say, well, I don't think I'll make it. I don't think I'll be ready. I don't think I can have that many kids. But he just regarded God's word. How many know that when God speaks, that's it? You never have to question again. That's the beauty of being a Christian. You don't have to think. Hello? How many know we don't know how to think when we get outside the Word? Within the Word, it makes it so simple and beautiful and sweet. And, you know, Christianity is really very simple. Amen? There's not much to it. You just simply obey God. You just believe what He said. Hallelujah? And so there's not much to it. This book is not complicated. It's not difficult. It just takes God, that's all. Hello? Well, there's no problem there. Because He's a good Father and He's a good Lord Jesus. So I've never found the commandments to be burdensome, have you? Let's hear that again. I've never found the commandments to be burdensome, have you?
No.
Because it says so in the book. I don't care if I understand that or not. It says it, that's it. You see how simple it is to think? It makes me very bright because I just do what the Bible says. It says it's easy, I say it's easy. If God says that wall was a tree, I'd call it a tree. Now, He doesn't say silly things like that, praise God. But He does say, I mean, it's almost as silly to say the commandments are easy, you see? But if God says they are, then they are. Can you say amen? They are not burdensome. Because He is able. Because He has spoken. Because He made a covenant with us. Hallelujah. Glory! That's what's exciting about being a Christian, is God has done it all. And I give God all the glory. I give God all the glory. Because there's no way, either being strong or weak, that we could make it. We don't have the strength and we're not too weak. But God is able to do it all. I want to turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. The title today of this message will be Possess the Land. God said that He wants us to possess the land. What does that mean? What does it mean to possess the land? Now, after the death of Moses, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, Yeshua. It's the same as the word Jesus. It's just the Hebrew form of Jesus, Yeshua. The son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead, the one who gave you the law. Now, therefore, arise. So let's start today with the first word of the Lord, which is arise. We're going to possess the land. The first thing we need to do is arise. That indicates that often we're sitting down. Often we're holding back. Often we're afraid to go forward. Can you say amen? When God gives us a vision, after all, He had given a vision that precedes this to Abraham. That vision was given to Abraham that there would be a land flowing with milk and honey, and that Abraham would have a people. Now, you remember, before Abraham, there was no people called the Jews. There was no Hebrew people. There was nothing. There were all the nations like Assyrians and Egyptians and Chinese and so on, but there was no group called Israel. They had to be invented out of nothing. And this is the time now when Abraham was called, he and his wife, Sarah, just two, and then they had a son named Isaac. And they had a few other children. But basically Isaac, and out of Isaac then came Jacob and so on and so forth until we had all these children, and then they went down into Egypt, and there they were just being used as slaves. So there was a great vision that you will be lords in the land. In other words, you will actually reign with God under the law. And you will be a glorious nation among all the nations, because it's the only nation that God really created Himself. And so here they are, for 400 years, they're in Egypt. I'll draw a little pyramid here. They're 400 years in Egypt. And what are they doing there? Are they reigning and ruling? What are they doing in Egypt? They're slaves, not only of the Pharaoh, but also of sin. Because one of the reasons that they're in Egypt is because of sin. And really, Egypt means bondage or sin. In the Bible, when the word Egypt is used, it often refers to the fact that all of us, this is kind of a way you can understand this, that all of us have been in bondage. All of us have a long history of bondage. All of us have an ancestry in bondage. All of us come out of the house of slavery or bondage. So that's not unusual. And what when you're a slave, what happens to your mental state? When someone else controls you, when you're in debt, when you're sick, when powers and forces push you around, what does that do to you? What does it do to someone who never is free, who's never free to do whatever God has said? Now here God has given a great vision, and yet the reality is that there is kind of a test going on for 400 years. Imagine this nation's only a couple hundred years old. Maybe you could go back to the 1600s, but basically it's only a few hundred years old, not yet 400 at all. Now, 400 is a long time to be a slave. You know, that's your father and your father's father and your father's father before him and your father's father. This goes back a long time, generation after generation after generation. Maybe 10 generations. And so they've been slaves all that time. That tends to give someone what I would call an inferiority complex. You know, you tend to think of yourself, especially generation after generation, of not being able to do much. Kind of all you're good for is making bricks and obeying, doing what others tell you to do. Now, was that the vision? You know, this is where God found his people for 400 years languishing in slavery. And, you know, if you look at the world today, you can see that most of the world's in this condition. Most of the world is ignorant today. It's sick. I mean, physically sick. It's mentally confused. And it's accepted slavery. Most of the world is not revolting. I mean, the only way that anybody ever revolts in this world is if someone who's free goes in there and makes them revolt. I mean, you know, have to shoot them almost. You have to threaten them with their lives to make people revolt. History would have us believe that people just suddenly see tyranny, they want to throw it off. I'm going to tell you something. People love tyranny. People love to be enslaved. People do not mind it. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you something you won't read in the books. But it's the truth that man actually likes being slaves. You know why? Because then you're irresponsible. I mean, if you're in debt, how can you obey God? How can God say, why don't you give to the poor? You've got an excuse. Well, I couldn't because I had to pay my bills. Well, why aren't you giving more to church? Well, I couldn't. I just didn't have that much. You know, every time I made a dollar, it's like I had a hole in my pocket. It just went right through it. Hello? There's a good excuse. Why, my goodness, that makes sense. Sure. I mean, God, you ought to change your law. I'll draw a little. Here's the tables. Two tables on which the Ten Commandments are written. One of the commandments, you know, talks about this and talks about that. Well, God, you should change those commandments. You should adjust them to reality. When a man is just having difficulty making it, you shouldn't have, you know, people shouldn't have to tithe and do all those other kind of things. You should change your rules. How many know God doesn't change his rules? When he says, you're going to do it, I mean, that means you're going to do it. And so he says, well, I don't know, maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's some exceptions or something. Are we really going to be kings? Are we going to rule and reign in this life? Hello? I don't care what it means right now. People argue about that. I'm just saying, that's what it says, is you're going to actually dispossess the wicked. How many believe that God still is interested in dispossessing the wicked? There are Hittites in our world today. There are Girgashites in our world today. There are Hivites in our world today. There are Canaanites in our world today. There are Philistines in the world today that God wants to judge and displace. Are you listening to me? That's part of the vision. And that's why he says arise. In other words, it's time. You know, I'm kind of tired of abortions. Of people not being saved. Of people not being sanctified. Of drugs. People are dependent upon drugs or alcohol. People living in adultery, open sin, marriages falling apart. You know, I'm tired of that, God says. This is Philistines and Girgashites and all. These people should be dispossessed. And you know, a government that's run amok. And instead of, you know, the only purpose of government is really to defend property. Did you hear me? Now today the government's taking the property. Now the only purpose of government, the reason that we the people formed the government in the first place, according to the Word of God, was that we might have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which basically means government must defend property. Because life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness all have to do with property. Personal, our person is property, our consciences are property, and our properties are property, and all kinds of things are property. And the government should help us to keep those things, preserve them, defend them from enemies outside and inside, including itself. That's why we actually wrote our Constitution, is to save us from our own government. How many know that government can be the most tyrannous, the most wicked form of oppression because it can play God? And God said, you know, I'm tired of that kind of world. I don't want that for my people. I don't want to come back to that kind of world. When I came into the world, Rome was in charge. Back in the days of Moses, it was Egypt. In the days of David, it was the Philistines, the Assyrians. It doesn't matter who, but God wants his people to have a piece of land. You don't have to have the whole world. Just take a piece of the land somewhere in the world, and that's where I want my glory to exist unhindered. I want that to be a holy land. Arise. Come out of where you are. Come out of Egypt. Come out of bondage. And I want you to dispossess the people that today are in charge who are not living holy lives. It's a call to holiness. God wants us to live holy lives. We need to save people. We need to heal people. We need to deliver people. We need to, you know, these abortions, it's just murder. We need to stop that. Hello? And drug dependency, homosexuality, all those things. Today, you know, even Christians argue about this stuff, but I tell you, there's no argument. It's in the Word, period. Now, look, someone says, well, I just want the inner kind of salvation. You know, I'm really willing to live in Egypt as long as I can have an inner God. I'll just worship God. I'll get by. I can make it. I can put up with things. I know how to do a lot with a little. I'm used to, you know, being pushed around. And I'll just have my inner little religion. And I believe I can make it. In fact, being a Christian is being someone that can always just kind of put up with a lot of stuff and smile. Just keep smiling. How many know that's Christianity for a lot of people? I'll get by. I can make it. I don't need too much. Oh, that's all right. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. Isn't this kind of the Christianity of many people? Hello? Not much fun in it, but, you know, at least you can get by. Hello? Now, that would be all right, except that it's not God's Word. If you've learned, I have, that epitomizes me. If you've learned to just get by, I mean, people can do all kinds of things to me, and I'll always say, well, that's okay. Oh, it's all right. Forget it. Nah, it's no problem at all. I mean, it just comes natural. Hello? Getting suspicious there. When something comes natural, you better be suspicious. You know, it's, oh, well, don't worry about it. I mean, I know how to be inferior. You know, if the devil, you know, is, you know, we got all this stuff today. The government is here, and people are living like hell, and the church is all a mess. That's all right. I'll get by. You know, just give me a little corner somewhere, and I'll get by. I'll make it. God's with me. I'll pull through. Now, you don't need to get out of Egypt if that's your attitude. If your attitude is one of basic letting the enemy just kind of have his way out there, and all you want is just to get by, all you want is just to kind of make it, then you really don't need too much. Because then God would have come to Egypt, and he would have said, look, people stay right here, and I'm going to talk to Pharaoh and see if he wouldn't give you a little bit of, you know, maybe a little property so you could build a little chapel here in Egypt. You know, besides one of his pyramids. You know, might build a little bit of chapel here for God's people. All right, there you go. And you'll pay taxes on that, but, you know, it'll only be 80% or something like that. Not too bad. You know, and you'll just barely make it, but you'll make it. Now, that's what's happened. Do you realize what right now the government could do? As soon as the tax go, what is it today? Now it's what? About 38% or something? Or what is it now? Anyway, it's going to go down, then it's going to be something else. And it's going to, you know, it looks like we've really made advances now. Now instead of 50%, 50 cents on a dollar, it's only going to be 38 or something, and then it'll go down. I'll tell you what they're going to do. Look, it's so obvious. They're going to take it all. When they say it's going to go down, don't you think Congress, the same Congress that has the right to make it 38 can make it 83? And when they got a big debt like they've got, a debt that's so staggering, you don't think they'll just change it arbitrarily again? Today it's in your favor, tomorrow it won't be. In other words, after a few years, that's too tempting. So, though you think, well, right now it's moving in a certain direction, you know, it's going to be that same Congress that passed this is only doing this so they can get revenue. And so when they say no taxes and all this kind of stuff, they don't mean that. They only mean to fool you for a while. And you say, well, Pastor, aren't you a bit suspicious? Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm a bit suspicious. Because it's the nature of man. And besides, it's too tempting. This will not last for long, these little formulas that they've worked out. Because they need trillions of dollars. And where are they going to get them? you know, well, I'll get by. I'm sure if everybody else can put up with it, I'll put up with it. You know, let's just stay right here in Egypt and you know, let them do what they want to do, because Jesus will come back someday. Some people are going to be raptured out. Other people are just going to tough it out. I don't like either of those deals. You know, I don't want to be raptured out because I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see the Bible as getting us out of trouble. I see the Bible constantly, every story in the Old Testament, the Old Testament is Scripture too. Every story in the Old Testament and New Testament indicates that Christians are able in this world to display the glory of God. Hello? Hello? If it were just spiritual, then you could stay in Egypt and you could stay under Rome. You know, then leave Rome be Rome, leave Egypt be Egypt, leave the system alone. But I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. I see that continually in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that God's people keep going forward. In the Old Testament, there was the Lord, the land, and the law. Those three things. God continually, His whole vision, His whole purpose, which He hasn't forgotten, was to have a people on the earth that the world could understand. Now, we don't need it. Actually, I could get by. If I perish today, I'm happy because I've got Jesus Christ in my heart. But I leave a family behind. And besides, He gave me a mission. And that mission necessitates that actually we have an impact on this world. It isn't just enough that I get saved. I also need to save others. I also need to actually establish in this world, and it's more than just getting people saved. I need to actually establish in this world a place where God is glorified. Now, where is that place? In Israel, it was a piece of land called Israel. We call it today Israel. But today, that's not the case. Today, anywhere a Christian is, the land that's around you, the life around you, you are to create a little heaven out of. You're not to go back to Israel, like the Jews have done, and form a land. That's over with. I'm probably stepping on some people's toes, but I'll just say that again so that you know I'm stepping on your toes. That's gone. You know, the land of Israel is not a sacred land. I went to Israel, and, you know, you don't walk about a foot above the ground or anything like that. It's just Israel, and McDonald's is there, and, you know, it's just Israel. It's just another country. I'm sorry. It happens to have historical power. But actually, this is as sacred as that. Hello. And a Jew is no better than an Arab. Hello. For some people, some Christians I know, they make out a Jew to be worth about 15 Arabs or something, you know, and, you know, 43 Gentiles or something, you know. But look, a Jew is just another person, just part of the family of God. Hello! We're all equal in Jesus Christ. That wall has been destroyed. And so a lot of Christians today are trying to build it back up again and make the Jew special. To the Jew first, yes. First, because he did have all the promises and he did have preeminence historically. But that's over with. Hello, you realize that's over with, it's over with, it's over with. So there's, you know, a lot of Christians, and I'm not arguing with any of them. I'm just arguing with them. Because they're wrong. They're making a big deal out of this Jewish thing. And, you know, I believe that the Jews are important people, but so are the Irish. You know, and you know, because they have freckles and stuff like that. And so are the Germans, and so are the Chinese, and so are the Russians, and you know, everybody's special. Hello? Now, God, see, wipe that thing out. That's why Jesus said, the kingdom is taken from you. You've lost it. And you see, the idea of having a land is that's where you multiply and get, you know, great and so on and so forth. At any rate, what I'm saying to you is this, that God wants to speak to this world in terms that the world will understand. Now, the world does not understand faith. Say that. The world does not understand faith. Say it. The world doesn't understand faith. The world does not understand faith. Someone says, well, I have faith. Well, the world can't see your faith. The world only understands fruit. Say that. The world understands fruit. That means they only can see what they can see. Taste, smell. They are restricted to their senses. You know, the world doesn't know. Now, demons do. Demons know spirit. But the world doesn't know spirit. It just simply knows fruit. And that's why Jesus said, the world will know you are my disciples by your faith, by your love. That's the only way. The fruit. That's how you know you're Christian. So the only way anyone knows we're in this world is by the fruit of our lives. It's very practical. There's nothing theological. They don't know by the sermons we preach. They don't know by the signs on the highway, anything. The only way they really know is by our fruit, by our lives living in such a way. Now, what we have to do is, what is that? How do you fill that in? What should be, what constitutes that? And you have to read the Bible to find that out. Is actually, there's a lot of things that constitute that. One is churches, like we've got right here. That's part of the fruit. But, you know, after all, the world doesn't walk in here. Hello? The world is not banging. Would you let those people in out there? The world is not banging to get in here. Hello? You know, the reason is, it's not because they don't know what's going on. It's because they do know what's going on. Hello? And they're not that impressed. You know? I mean, if things were happening all over the place, they would be banging down the doors. Because I'm going to tell you something right now, everywhere you go in the world, it's falling apart. And they are looking for help. They are looking for help. They're getting desperate. Actually, the other day, they even called me to be part of the new government. I mean, they're getting desperate. Hello? Hello? They usually don't go to ministers, you know, to ask if they want a political job. But you see, I mean, they're running out. They don't know how to define things anymore. The legal profession's a mess. Mostly parasites. Hello? Hello? Most of them. I'm just telling you the truth. I like lawyers. I mean, it's not a personal thing. But they're basically not producing anything for us. You know one of the problems in the United States is that lawyers should not be congressmen. Anybody today who goes into Congress is a lawyer. You know that. Well, that's the worst thing could happen to this nation. We don't want any experts running our government. We want common everyday people running it. Well, you say, well, how can a common everyday person run it? Well, that's exactly why this one was formed. It's because we're a government of laws. And the laws are all based on the Bible. All you got to know is the Bible. Hello? And the lawyers are the worst because they operate not by common law. Lawyers operate, they don't know this, but lawyers are operating according to Roman law. That is very specified. You know how they get whereas and therefore and all that stuff. Well, that's all nonsense. We don't need all that. And that's why we're in a mess today, is because the world is legal. It's all full of legalities and a lot of double talk. You know, when a lawyer writes a law, you can never figure out what it's supposed to be saying. Hello? You know, it's written so ambiguous that it covers everything, and then again it says nothing. You know, you really aren't sure what you got. I guess we won. Did we win that vote? You know, you're not really sure. Even when you read those little things on there that say, vote for this, I can never figure out what's a no against that, you know? Am I saying no when I say yes, or am I saying yes when I say no? I can never figure it out. You know? Hello? Well, that's because lawyers are handling everything. And this government was set up in such a way that the law was... You don't need a judge to be intelligent. Hello? Now, listen to me. Actually, this nation was set up in such a way that anybody could be a judge because they'd just go and read the law. They'd go and look at it and say, okay, here's what the Constitution says. All right, let's hear that again. Okay, well, this is what I'd say. And that's about it. No big deal. Not all this stuff today where a murderer actually gets away because of some legal thing. It was so simple that anybody could have been a judge. And in Texas, it was that way. Hello. You know that? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's as good a justice as God needs. And that's as good a justice as the people that founded this nation wanted. Because they knew God said that common law, which means that law is actually something that the people create. Law is not something written down in books somewhere. The law is whatever the people are actually working out in their relationships. You see? And that includes not just what we do today, but it includes going all the way back. Now, Roman law is law which the emperor works out. It's law which the experts work out. It's law which the big shots work out. And then they foist it on the people. That's Roman law, like in Louisiana. But now our whole nation has become subject to that, so we've lost our freedoms. Because these people are writing laws, you know, that are so complicated and so you can't figure anything out. And you know some special interest group or something, whatever that would be. Somebody's making out with something, but you just can't figure out what it is. Now, I tell you, God doesn't like that. Hello? Come on. God wants government to be in the hands of the people. Why? Because then God can be God. I'll tell you, I know I'm nothing special. That's why God wants ordinary people to have responsible jobs. Now, can you imagine going to a slave people who have never done a thing except make bricks? And Moses told those people, now I want you to go, and I want you all, I mean every single one of you, to be kings and priests. Hey, imagine every person, you know, King Jochebed talking to, you know, the next guy said, hi king, you know, they were all going to rule and reign. I mean, what a silly idea. Moses, you know, when he saw this pack of people, he said, oh God, he said, these people don't know anything about slavery. All they know is punching a clock and, you know, going in and making bricks. You want these people to rule and reign, be judges and rulers? And you know, God says, yeah, that's the idea. I want people to be free. He said, free or, you know, crazy. I mean, you know, this isn't going to work. And the people didn't like it either. They said, you know, what are we going to do with our Social Security checks? You know, right now we got a nice little home in Egypt. Not much, but, you know, it's ours. It's all ours, all 7 feet of it. And, you know, we got everything. We got onions and leeks anytime we need them. You know, they go out and eat an onion and a leek and so on. And, boy, it's great, you know, but if we get out there in the wilderness, we could lose it all. I mean, you know, and so they started complaining to Moses when they got free. You remember that? They said, hey, Moses, what did you do? Did you bring us out here because there weren't enough graves in Egypt? I mean, you know, what are we out here to die in the hot sun and, you know, lizards will get us? And, you know, they were making up all kinds of stuff because their imagination went wild. And Moses, you know, kept telling them, look, you guys are going to be kings. Sure, you know. I mean, we're not going to do anything because they were slaves. They were not used to ruling and reigning. Moses got the picture because he was brought up in the house of Pharaoh. I'm going to rule and reign. And Moses felt that because God said it, because the Lord declared it, that Moses felt that it was going to happen. And so he got a hold of this and said, not the Hittites shall reign, but you, Moses, shall reign. Why? Because the Hittites don't have a law that's worthy. But you, Moses, are going to be righteous. Now, this is the only way to reign. Is if you are not righteous, you have no right to reign. That's why it's a call to righteousness today. It's not a call to power. Those that are stressing that we rule and reign, that's only half the picture. The point is, you don't have a right to rule and reign. You will not add anything to what's going on unless you are pure. Unless you are holy, unless you can replace all these other things. Now, we're going to have a war on our hands. You think the homosexuals are just going to, you know, right now, what is it, Michigan? Yeah, I think it's Michigan. In Michigan, the church has to hire, what is it, an equal amount of homosexuals or something like this, you know, that equal opportunity thing or something. That's the law in Michigan. And it's being put on all the institutions, including the church, that you have to, everybody has to hire homosexuals. That's an equal opportunity. Well, that's garbage. Hello? Now, they get you for that in Michigan. Here I can say it in Texas, because we're wild down here. You know, I can say that. But in Michigan, they get you for that. And in California, as I've said before, in Dallas, you can't even have a house church in your home. It's against the law. Now, I tell you, should we let the Hivites and the Hittites and the Girgashites tell us what to do? Should we let Washington tell us what to do? We're the people. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I feel inferior. I just don't feel like I could overthrow the court system today. I just don't feel like I could fire all the congressmen. By the way, that'd be the best thing to do, is get rid of all those guys. Just fire them all. Just put in regular people like you. You know, we should all take our part in government. Hello? Everybody should do it. In a republic, that's the idea. It's have lots of jobs and have everybody doing them all the time and just have them last, you know, maybe a few months or a year or two or something. That's it. Get out. Even though you're wonderful, get out. Because it's the law. It's not a government of men. It's a government of laws. And basically the law is, you see, when men rule, they don't need the laws because they can change the laws. But when men don't rule, then all you've got is the law. And so then men, then you have to depend upon the law. And you better write it down simple then, because the next guy comes along may not be able to read it right. You know what I'm saying? You've got to make it very simple. That's why the Constitution is very simple. You know, it's very explicit. People don't have a right to come into your home and, you know, do this and do that. Well, today they can do anything. The IRS can come in, do anything it wants to do. I mean, you can't stop anybody from doing anything anymore. You can't say, you used to have signs on the door, get off this property or you're dead, you know, or something like this. You can't do that anymore. You know, it's all been redefined by law. You didn't even know about it, but there's all kinds of laws now that you don't have any rights anymore. None of them. Not one constitutional right is yours anymore. Hello? Now, there's a lot going on. But all I'm trying to point out to you is the Girgashites are running everything, and the Hittites. Now, is that God's will or not? Period. It's not whether you can change it. It's whether, is that God's will? Does God want us to just be slaves down here and say, well, as long as I can still read my Bible, like in Russia. You know, in Russia, they can still read their Bible if they could find one. Cost them a month's wages to get one. Hey, is that God's will? Is that the way it should be? I don't agree with that law. I'm going to tell the Tsar I don't like that law. I'm going to do something about it. When we went to Mozambique, we told the president, we don't like your idea of God is dead. In 1982, the president of Mozambique, Samora Machel, declared God is dead. And we just went to him and said, you're wrong. Now, imagine the temerity, the arrogance, the boldness of me going up to this Philistine and telling him, we don't agree with you Philistines. And here's what we recommend to you. We recommend you need Bibles. You know, just like that. We're going to bring in thousands and thousands of Bibles. And we want you to sign a document with us so that we bind you down to that. Amen. So, that's what we did. And you know, he needed something. You know, we didn't take anything. It wasn't a personal affront to him. You know, the Bibles actually helps his country. And we did. We did bring in Bibles. And we have perfect freedom to do all that. I tell you, this world doesn't know how to rule. Samora Machel didn't know how to rule. You say, what are you saying? Who are you? Well, I'm just a nobody, but God said I'm somebody. You see, I'm somebody because God lives in me. I'm an ordinary people, as Paul's program says. And ordinary people do extraordinary things because of Jesus. You see, ordinary people is what it's all about. You are the people. You cannot wait in Egypt and say, well, I'll just let them do what they're going to do because I just don't feel I have enough time between soap operas and, you know, the different things I'm doing to really bother with it. Well, you can't do it that way. As a Christian, you are responsible for this world. You are your brother's keeper. You're responsible for Fort Worth. You're responsible for what goes on. I like that, don't you? Now look, God actually has a vision to arise not only to arise, to get up from where you are. That's the first thing is, arise. Get up from where you are. Let's read it. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, millions of people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given to you. In other words, wherever they go, and that includes us now, wherever you go, that's given to God. How many want to glorify God? That means wherever you are. Paul, at the police department down there, you have to glorify God. I'm going to tell you something, that's not easy, is it? But God's given you favor, hasn't he? He's given you favor. It isn't easy. You don't just walk into the police department and say, okay, we're having a Bible study today. But, you know, within a few months, you should be having some things happen. And you have. I know you have because you've told me. But, you know, Paul is finding favor now in our legal system down there. And the chief of police has asked him, hey, help me out, Paul. And some of the other policemen have resented that, right? Hey, who is this guy? New York cop, you know, coming in here. We're Texans, you know. We don't go for that. Guy can't even speak English. You know. Hey, but that's the favor of God. Because he has God's law in him. He's got righteousness in him. And he's got a vision in his mind that wherever he goes, I mean, he didn't come up with a plan. He didn't say, well, now when I get in there, I'm going to do it. He just went in there as a Christian and just started stepping wherever he stepped. It began to be transformed by the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. When he saw adultery, he went and he spoke something and said, hey, what are you doing? He met a young cop who's, you know, getting divorced and all. He said, hey, what are you doing? That's a Girgashite, right? And maybe the guy's even a believer, but he's saying, hey, you better repent. You need to get saved, healed, delivered, you know, whatever. But whatever it takes, that's what we do. We transform any area of our life, our neighbors, our family, our neighborhood. You know, mow your lawn. That's part of it. That's not a bad thing to do, have a neat lawn, because the world looks at your lawn. Now, I know it's not, you know, you're not more godly because you mow your lawn. Somebody says, you know, I just want to be ugly for Jesus. You know, just to show I'm not into, I don't want to show I'm into materialism. So I'm just going to be so ugly as I can be, and that'll glorify God. That doesn't glorify God. I know, you know, everything neat doesn't glorify God necessarily either. But the point is, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. I suppose somebody could be ugly for Jesus to the glory of God. But it's kind of hard for me to imagine that. You know, we want to speak to this world, whatever it takes. If you live extraordinarily with respect to your neighbors, you're probably not going to witness to them. You've got to fit in wherever you are. That's no big thing to us. Just adapt. Whatever it takes, adapt and begin to lead people to Jesus. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I've given to you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of the Lebanon, even to the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites. Now, these Hittites were one of the fiercest people in the old world. All the land of the Hittites. Imagine, you remember Abraham bought a cave? You remember that when Sarah died? Abraham, God told Abraham, I give you the whole business. And Abraham was in this land, and he didn't have the whole business. He didn't have any business. He didn't even own anything. And he went to the Hittites and he said, my wife Sarah has died and I need a burying place. And they said, well, you know, here's a cave over here, the cave of Machpelah. And he said, I'd like that cave. Now God had told him it's all yours. But he went there and he said, I'd like that cave. And so the Hittites said, hey, it's yours for nothing, for free. I mean, it's yours. And Abraham said, no, I don't want it that way. I want to pay for it. Now, God gave it to him, but he wanted to pay for it from the Hittite. Are you listening to me? So he said, no, I want to pay for it. And everywhere Abraham went, he always paid. You know, somebody tried to give him something, he said, no, I don't want anyone to think that you made me rich. God will make me rich, but I don't want you to think you did. So every time he met with a Girgashite or a Hivite or a Jebusite or whatever, he always paid his way. Now, I'm making a point here. Yet, when he died, when Abraham died, God had given everything to Abraham. Because who owns Machpelah? Elizabeth. God. Actually, the Hittites don't own anything. The Philistines own nothing. God has given you what? What's the Lord's? The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Now, don't you think God has a right to give to whomever He wants? Don't you think if God wants to give you a city, He can give you a city? Or anything. He can give you anything. It's all His. Now, the fact that the Hittite has it today, does that give you the right to go and grab it from the Hittite? No. Did Moses say to the people of Israel, now look, the Egyptians got all the gold and we don't have any, so just go and grab it off of them. That would be stealing. Did Moses teach the people to steal jewelry from the Egyptians? Just grab it. You know, and so the Israelite was just next to him and said, you know, God has given us this land. The Egyptian said, yeah, that's interesting. I thought my great-grandfather and so on said, yeah, well, it's not yours, and this gold is mine too. And he just rip it off and, you know, take 400 years. And God also knew that Egypt had no right to anything. It belonged to God. And so God dispossessed, He took out of their possession all the jewelry from Egypt. Isn't that interesting? Because actually Egypt after that never was great again. Egypt lost her glory and her greatness after Israel left. And Israel made Egypt great. The greatness of Egypt was due to Israel's inclusion. That 400 years that Israel was inside of Egypt was the most glorious time for Egypt. Isn't that interesting? Yet God decided at a certain point, I want now to pay back the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Canaanites. You remember that? You remember that God, a long time ago, said to Abraham, these guys are perverts, they're homosexuals, they're adulterers, they're murderers, they're thieves, and I don't want them on the face of the earth, and I'm going to wipe them out as a nation. Now, does God have a right to do that? Does God have a right to judge a nation? Mm-hmm. Even His own people. You see, when Israel sinned, He wiped them out. And I'll tell you, America is under judgment today. Do you hear me? America is under judgment today because we have not done righteously. Now, it isn't just going to go away. God is waiting for us to do what we always know to do. Repent. Come back to Him. God can judge a nation, and He did judge Canaan, and He said, Canaan, you remember way back with Noah? Remember way back with Noah? Ham came in and looked at his father naked. Do you remember that? Do you remember that story? And immediately Noah woke up, and this was not a personal thing against Ham, but it was a kingdom thing. And he said, cursed be Canaan. Now, who is Canaan? Canaan is the Jebusites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, you know, the Hittites, and all these people. All right. Those seven nations actually were displaced then by Abraham's children. Remember, Noah said it. He said, "Cursed be Canaan." And he spoke then a curse. And actually then, when Abraham came, and then when his children came, and then finally out of Moses, when they came into the land, they took over all the land of the Canaanites. God said, "I'm judging this people." And now listen, are you following me? You're looking like this is difficult, but I want it to be simple. So I'm just showing you that don't be too moral about this. You better find out what God's view is, because it's a little bigger than our personal morality. When he said, kill every Girgashite, kill every Hivite, kill every Jebusite, it's a spiritual truth. That one's physical death. I mean, they were actually getting cut with the sword. But in our day, the truth of that is, don't make any covenant or compromise with the people of this world who are saying, this homosexuality's okay, or big government debt's okay, or abortions are okay, or any other thing. Prayer, no prayer in school. They're wrong. Those Girgashites don't tell us what to do. Hello? Now, I'm not into political causes. I'm not for everybody, you know, running around with placards and so on and so forth. But I'm going to tell you something. We rule and reign down here, or it ain't going to get done. If we don't do it, it's not going to happen. Now, I'm not into confusing church and state. I'm not confused at all. No confusion in my mind whatsoever. They're two different things. But I'm going to tell you something. The state better listen to the church. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the church better be the church. And there is something wrong there. Because the church today isn't the church. And that's why the state isn't the state. It's forgotten what a state is. Now, who defines a state? God. I'll tell you, the Bible has everything about law right here. Anything you want to learn about law or government or international relationships or business, it's all here. There's nothing, in fact, it's amazing, John and I were talking before the service. Even business is now coming around to realize that I don't care how far they've gotten away from God, they will come back. Because you cannot beat what's in this book. You will come back to this book over, and I don't care how far you try to get into evolution, evolution will be destroyed before Jesus comes back again. I don't care how far communism go, it'll be destroyed before Jesus comes back again. I don't care what men are doing today, you will come back to this book. Because this is the law. And it's true. And it's rational. And it's right. It's true. And it's rational, which means not revealed even. It just, everybody knows. You know, it says in Romans that no man is with an excuse. Nobody can excuse himself and say, "Well, I didn't know there was a God." It says in here, everybody knows there's a God. Hello? Somebody said, "Well, I didn't know homosexuality was wrong." It says in here, everybody knows. That's what it says. It says, "Well, I didn't know adultery was wrong." It says in here, you know. By nature, everybody has a conscience. You say, Adolf Hitler did it. He did. And that's why the Nuremberg trials tried those guys, and that's why Oliver North is, you know, on the thing to say, you know, you just can't do everything your superiors say. And that's right, but I think he's giving a good testimony. What I'm trying to say here is, you've got to also be personally responsible, but you've got to fit in with God's plan. And God is saying, these people have no right to rule. I want them displaced. I want them out of the way. Now, is that wrong then to take over? No. You must take over. You must take over. I tell you, we have to change businesses. IBM is not, you know, sacred. You know, whatever all the companies are. They're not sacred. Dresser Industries. Let's change them all. Hello? You say, "Well, Pastor, you're crazy." I mean, well, that may be. But I'm going to tell you something. You have no right to be a slave. You have the mentality of inferiority is to say, "Well, I'll just get by. I'll make it. Somehow it'll all work." It won't. That's not true. Because God has spoken and said, "Arise." Second thing he said, verse 5. "There shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of thy life, because I am with you." Emmanuel. I am with you. When you arise, God's with you. Number 3. "Be not afraid. Fear not. Be of good courage." Be of good courage. I tell you, it takes courage today to fight. It takes courage to get out of Egypt. It takes courage to displace all the Canaanites. And then it says, "Possess the land." Possess the land. Take it. Possess it. Don't wait for it. Take it. Possess the land. And actually, number 5, is I give it to you. The land that I give to you. Now, you can't take it on your own. That's what I just explained to you. You can't just go and grab things, but you can take whatever God gives you. Now, what has God given you? That you must read the Bible. You must find out in the Bible what has God given you. For example, has God given you your family? Yes. That's one thing He's given you. He's given us life. Has God given us many to be saved? Yes. You don't have to save anybody. God's already done it. All you have to do is go out and preach, and as you preach, someone will say, I believe. You didn't even make them. You didn't talk them into it. You didn't convince them. The seed did it. Because God said, I've got a numberless host out there. All you got to do is walk out there and say, Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Repent, believe on Him. And people will just immediately start crying and say, I believe. You know, how do I get saved? What do I need to do? Immediately, without any effort on your part. Hello? The only reason people are not being saved by hordes right now is no one's planting seeds. Period. The only reason, Paul, am I right? It doesn't take, you don't have to be special. Any slave, former slave, can do this. Any former slave can be a king. And God has said, I call you out of slavery, out of Egypt, I call you to be a kingdom of priests. I want you to be royal, a royal priesthood. I want everyone to say here, I'm a king. Even the girls can say that. I'm a king. Guys can say, I'm the bride of Christ. So, it's equal. All right, now, so we're all kings and we're all priests. I'm a priest. Even girls can say that. I'm a priest. I'm a priest. Why? Because God said, I want a kingdom of priests and kings. I mean, He never called Israel to have one big shot. He said, I want everybody to be one. Did you know that? You might not know that. It's found in Exodus 14, I think, 13. Let's see if I can find that quickly. Every person is supposed to be under the law, and every person is supposed to reign. That's an amazing truth that God wants us today. And that's why, alright, let's see here. Oh, I don't know if I can find it. That's not it. But it's somewhere in the Bible. I mean, I could find it. If you want to know, I could find it for you. But anyway, the point is God wants His people to reign on this world. And you are a little king wherever you are. Wherever you are, you're to reign. You're to declare the Word of God. You are to meditate on the Word. You are to declare the Word and you are to act the Word. You are to meditate on the Word. You are to declare the Word and you are to act the Word. We're not afraid. Paul was telling me the other day that at his work they told him he couldn't wear a lapel button to say Jesus loves you or something. They said, you know, you'll be fired if you wear that. Don't ever do that again. But he was saying, okay, I'll accept that because there's no Bible verse that says, you know, wear lapel buttons. But he said, but what they can't tell me to do is that I can't witness and share. And they can't tell me not to do that. You know, okay, I won't wear the lapel button. There's no necessity to wear that. But they can't not tell me that I can't talk about Jesus or that I can't share the Lord. Hello, are you following me? But the world today wants to tell you that. I tell you, they will fire you if you do that. Raise your hand if you know that I'm telling the truth. It's the truth. The state wants to be God. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. The state has always wanted to be God. The state has always... I mean, there's never been a ruler that was a helper. Anytime someone says, I'm going to help you out, you know, even Reagan, when he says, I'm going to help you, I don't believe him. Because nobody ever wants to help you. They want to help take care of all your stuff. You know, they want to take it from you. No one's going to do you a favor. Hello? Hello? Don't be naive. Even in the church, you've got to be very careful. Only God gives. And when we're in line with God, we give. I tell you, I want whatever God has. If God says, arise, I'm with you, don't be afraid, take it, possess it, I give it to you, then He gave it to me. It wasn't the Hittite that gave me the cave. It wasn't the Egyptian that gave me the jewelry. God gave it to me. And when He gives, He really gives. I mean, because there's a job to do. What did Abraham need the cave for? Well, he had a reason for the cave. Why did he need all the land of the Hittites? Because the Hittites had to be judged, and God wanted the holy people to live somewhere. So He displaced an unholy people. I mean, these people, if you've studied history, and you know, probably nobody's ever read who the Jebusites and the Girgashites and the Hivites, you don't know that much by reading, but I'm going to tell you, if you read carefully in the Bible, you'll see these were the most abominable people on the earth. Now, everybody's a sinner, but these people were really into abomination. I mean, if you study their religion, and their ways. They're abominable people. And God says, it's like, you know, California, the thing in San Francisco. That's abominable. Hello. Come on. Yeah, we're so nice these days. Christianity today is being real nice, never saying anything mean. Hello. Well, Jesus said, you brood of vipers. Now, was that nice? You don't want to put that above your crib. But that's Jesus too. I tell you, if you love someone, you also hate evil. I'm not just going to put up with all this and say, well, it's okay, kids, you know. It's kind of a rough world, but you get out there and do the best you can. And, you know, some of your teachers are going to do this and do that. Well, just kind of fit in with it. I'm going to fight for that. Hello. Because God told me to. It's not because I have any power. It's not because I have any wisdom. It's because God wrote it down and said, this is my law. There is a law and it works. I tell you, their law doesn't work. Their law will never produce anything. This law produces something. We're not going to have a nation if we don't take the nation. If it isn't a Christian nation, it won't be a nation. And that I don't mean that the nation should be a church. The nation doesn't have any job to preach the gospel. That's the church's job. There's a clear difference. But the nation must be under the Ten Commandments. That's the law. You see, the Bible's two things. It's law and it's gospel. Law means what I should do. Gospel is what God has done. Now, the church has to do with the gospel. But we also preach the law. But the law is for the world. We don't need the law, do we? Because we have the Spirit. Yeah, hello, you know what I'm saying? When you're in love with Jesus, you don't need a law. Hello, come on, this is all in the Bible. I'm just quoting Bible here. It says in here clearly that if you have the Spirit of God and you follow that, you don't need a law. When you're following love, you don't need a law. When you're in joy, you don't need a law. The people that need a law are those that are lawless, who are not regenerate, who are not born again. Now, I know many Christians today are living like hell, and they need a law. Because they're not living in Jesus Christ. Well, that's what the church is all about, is to say, have you forgotten who you are? Do you know who you are? Are you slaves? Are you finding it difficult to obey the law? You see, when he came out of Egypt, where did they go? Into the land? No. They went into a middle thing first. What was that middle thing? The wilderness. 40 years, they were in the wilderness. Why? What were they doing in the wilderness? They went up on the mountain, and God gave them the Ten Commandments. Moses came down and said, here's the law. Now I want everybody, including me. Because most rulers always put laws on people, but they themselves are exempt. They have immunity. But Moses said, this is for all of us. In fact, this law is for the whole world. And we're the first fruits of that. We're going to show the world. We're a light to the world the way we live. And I tell you, read that law. It's incredible. What a law. That law today would serve the international code. You can't beat the law. Now, I'm not talking about the ritual law of, you know, sacrificing animals and so on. That's a different part of the law. Because that was a type for Jesus, has been fulfilled. Okay? Well, what's the law? Well, there's some differences. But the law I'm talking about is the moral law. That moral code that has to do with love the neighbor. Loving God. Jesus summed it up in two words. What is it? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. That's it. That's the law. It's the Ten Commandments. You know, it's a lot of things. The Ten Commandments just summarizes everything that's in here. Now, the United States should be under that law. Common law should be that law. Do you understand? And so should the whole world. And when they allow alternate lifestyles, that's not the law. The law says no. Hello. And when someone is dependent on drugs, that's not the law. The Bible says no. And when someone divorces, it says no. Hello. You know, we're not knocking people. We're not mad at homosexuals themselves. Personally, I don't want to steal any jewelry from any Egyptian. I don't want to, you know, go up and take a sword and cut down a homosexual or something like this. We want to set them free. We've got the power. Law won't set them free. I mean, you can isolate them and, you know, put them in jail and whatnot. That isn't going to set them free. That's why we have the gospel also. The law restrains them until the gospel can get to them. Did you hear me? The law is a schoolmaster to hold people down so they don't kill each other, so that there's enough time so that the gospel can come along and save them. Hello? And if they won't be saved, then let them go to hell. How many know that we can let people go to hell? You don't have the power to keep people from hell. If people want to go to hell, they have a right to go to hell. Hello? You know, that's one of the problems in America today. Sometimes the Calvinist element in our nation, from the Puritans on back, felt everybody ought to be forced to go to church, for example. And that's what a lot of these people are afraid of. That's why they've got laws now that allow them to do their thing, because they're afraid Christians are going to get so much power that Christians will force them to go to church. And, you know, you can't blaspheme God. You know, if a guy walked by here and said, "I hate Jesus," he'd be thrown in jail or something. That's what they're afraid of, because those were laws at one time. Hello? There were laws like that. Now, I'm not saying whether those laws are good or bad. I'm just going to say one thing. That's a fear that they have. But I'm going to tell you, we've got something better than just law. I don't care whether there's blue laws or not. The blue laws just simply indicate for the world, forget God. For us, a blue law means worshiping God. For the world, it means stop working all the time as though work was everything. Hello? Hello? You know, that's not smart on our part that the nation now works 7 days a week. That's just Egyptian. That's the way it was in Egypt, in the Jebusite city. That's the way it is throughout the world, where nobody ever takes a break. What are they working for? The grave. What's the purpose of it all? Nothing. It doesn't get you anywhere. We're not making more money. There's only so much money in the world anyway. You're not making any more money. I tell you, if you serve God, God will bless. Where do you think money comes from? Where does blessing come from? It comes from God. It's a gift of God. It's not because you work hard. A ditch digger and a president of the United States, you know, put in so many hours. That's not why you get paid for something. It's God who giveth. Hello? So, now God wants us to be righteous. He says, "Arise, I am with you." There's holiness there. Fear not. That is, don't worry about how big the Egyptians are. And don't worry about how big the Canaanites are, how big Congress is, how big the international law courts are, how many the international bankers. I don't care who's out there. I don't care how many special interest groups there are. What's a special interest group anyway? What special interest group do you belong to? You know, that's just made up, isn't it? Isn't that a bunch of nonsense and baloney to destroy our republic? Hello? They don't want any special interest groups, blacks, women, homosexuals, all kinds of things. Everybody's in a special interest group. The billionaires, they have a special interest group. Who's helping them? You know, this is a small group. They need representation. They don't need representation. Who are they? You know, that's all silly stuff to get our eyes off of Jesus, to get our eyes off of what's going on. I tell you, we're not done yet in this world. This world has yet to see and deserves to see a better church. And that's what God is doing. God is saying to us today, arise. I am with you. Arise. I am with you. Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. What kind of courage? Don't be inferior. The biggest enemy's inside right here. Oh, I can't reign. I can't rule. I can't do anything. Yes, you can. Make yourself available to God. Stand up for righteousness and purity wherever you are. Stand up and say, thus far and no further, you Girgashites have to go. Hello? You say, well, how far can we get, Pastor? As far as God will give you. Well, how far? I don't know. Will we ever get America back to Christianity? I'm going to tell you something, what I believe. I believe that the world belongs to the wicked one, the enemy, Satan. I believe that when Jesus comes back, the enemy will still be reigning. I believe that Satan will reign to the end. I do not believe in utopia. I do not believe we're going to eliminate all the bad people. But here's what I do believe. I believe the church has been given a place on this earth that no gates of hell can prevent us from taking. So that the world will see, and they never get jealous, except if, you know, they're not going to persecute you unless they envy you. Now, they're not envying us today because we don't have anything. I tell you, when you take your place in the world and begin to remove them, displace them, that's when the world will respect you and persecute you. Now, that's the kind of church we need. Not just persecution because Oral Roberts said something silly. Hello. That's the way they make it today. Or because Jim Baker, you know, embarrassment or something. That's not persecution. I tell you, persecution is when we succeed. When we do it right. That's real persecution. When you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Do you understand me? That's the church that Jesus wants, a New Testament church, a church that it doesn't have just one land now. It's all over the world. Wherever Christians are, that's where there should be a holy people. Under the law of God. And now that's been supplemented with the gospel. We not only have the law to tell us what to do, but the gospel that shows us that Jesus Christ has done it through the Holy Ghost in us, so that we're able to do it, so that we are under the Lord. We belong to the Lord. So it's a people living under the Lord, under His law. through the gospel. That's the vision. Arise, I am with you. Fear not, be of good courage, take the land, possess the land which I give to you. Now, what is God giving you today? What is God giving to you? Let's start with our family. Let's start with our church. Let's start with individuals. God has given you your own sanctification. If anyone here isn't born again, this is the day to get it. Become born again. If you're not speaking in tongues, get it today. If you're not healed, get it today. If you're not delivered, get it today. If there's any confusion, if there's any kind of slavery that you're in, financial, material, any kind, get rid of it today. Take the land, possess it. It's given to you. God commands you, arise. It's not, well, you know, if you'd like to, you'd stay in Egypt, but if you wouldn't, you know, if you wouldn't like to, if you'd like to, you could probably go out into the desert. It's not a probably, it's not a maybe. It's a command. You must get out of Egypt. You must go into the wilderness and learn the law of righteousness, and you must go in and dispossess the wicked in this world. How many here could take a university? How many here could take a city? One can put the flight, how many? 1,000. How many here could take 1,000 by yourself? That's what Guy was doing. Guy was taking 1,000. Guy and Joe together took 10,000. I think you had about 10,000 on your list. But that's your job. That's exactly what God wants us to do. Is you're influencing that many people, bringing them under the gospel. Because I tell you, if the world comes back under the gospel, right here in this nation, we'll be a light to the world. And they'll want our Jesus. You know, wherever I go in the world, when I go somewhere, Samora Michelle didn't say, well, you're a Christian, I don't want to listen to you. He wanted to listen. He was preaching to me. He's a communist, and he was preaching to me. He was the president of a country. He comes up, grabs my hand, starts swinging it like a little kid, and says, come on in here. It's just the people. And he says, you know, let's talk about the Bible. That's what he said to me. That's what he's talking about, the Bible. I mean, it was a closed room. There was nobody looking on. He starts talking to me heart to heart. He says, you know, let's talk about the Bible. Because what he was saying was, my problems are all in the Bible somehow. That's a communist. That's somebody who's supposed to be a bad guy. I tell you, he's a Girgashite. He doesn't know anything, and he knew I knew something. He knew, Jim, you have given us all kinds of things. You have done all the projects you said and more. I believe in you. God is with you. You are blessing my people. We like you because you like us. You care for us. I'm listening. What have you got? I tell you, this world is waiting for us. Every country in the world is waiting for us. But let's start right here. Let's bless the base. Let's take the land that's ours. How many would say, I will, Pastor? I want to take. Let's start with our individual souls. Take your soul. Is there peace in your soul? Is there happiness in your soul? Is there any Egypt in your soul? Get rid of it. Get out of Egypt. Arise. God is with you. Fear not. Be of good courage. Possess the land which I give to you. God gives it to you. He says, it's easy. I've already paid for it. I'm giving it to you. I'm just telling you, get up and take it. You know, you can't wait and say, well, I'm going to wait till I'm inspired. Don't be inspired. Hello. There is no inspiration. Hello. It's just perspiration. Hello. It's only hard work. Just get out and get it. Take it. Oh, I'm afraid. That's why he said, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. He said, don't be afraid. Well, I don't. Remember Moses was stuttering? He said, okay, well, I'll provide Aaron. I mean, God's made a way for you. You cannot lose. Say it. I will not lose. I will reign victorious over the land God has given to me. Now, we all have different lands. We don't all have the same land. Some of us will cooperate, you know, work together. But the point is, each of us has different lands. Our families. How many have taken your whole family? Now, all I mean by that is you don't have to, everyone doesn't have to be a Christian, but you have to have imposed upon them what you believe to be the truth. Hello, are you listening to me? No mercy to them. Somebody says, oh, you Christians, you're always talking about Jesus. Good. That's the way to do it. Well, I don't like it. I feel you're trying to push something on me. Good. And here's another track, you know. Let's pray now. Just go and get them. What are they? They're Girgashites. They don't know anything. Are they happy? No. I'm perfectly happy, they say. But they're not. And I don't care what they say. They're Girgashites. Hello? Hello? Come on. They're not happy. I tell you, people, you've watched your relatives. They go down the drain. I don't care how much material things they have. They have nothing. Hello, they have nothing. You watch them. They fall into drugs. They fall into adultery. They fall into everything. Because we have been negligent. Because we have not gone to them and said, you know, I represent the Lord God. And this is what we're going to live under. And I call you to repentance. We don't have the guts, do we? We feel, well, I don't want to put it on them. I feel a little inferior here. They've always regarded me as a weirdo anyway, and so I don't want to say too much. I might be rejected. Oh, come on. Hello. Was Jesus afraid of being rejected by all of Rome? You know, imagine Jesus coming and saying, I'm the king of the world. I mean, Rome just didn't buy that. Remember? He told even Pilate. He said, you know, I've come to bear witness to the truth. And Pilate said, oh, come on, what's truth? I'm a judge. I know there's no such thing as truth. What do you mean, truth? Well, Jesus didn't mind that. He didn't go into a treatise about what is truth. He just told it. He didn't have any fear. And Pilate knew, and Pilate could never rule again. That was the last day Pilate ever ruled. He couldn't. He couldn't function after that. He knew I'd met God. He knew he had stood in the presence of a holy man. He knew that that man was of the truth. That shook him to the foundations, and all of Rome felt the reverberations until it crumbled and fell. I tell you, look, it doesn't hurt to help the world. Let's help the world. The world's falling apart. Let's help it. We don't help it by the gospel. We help it by the law. Help the world. Give it the law. You don't need to give it the gospel. The world doesn't have to come to my church to be the world. It can still be the world, but I'm going to make it obey my law. Hello? Hello? You know, government is force. I want the world to be forced. I want the homosexuals to be forced not to do their thing. Are you listening to me? I mean forced. Force. That means force. Guns, jails, you know, whatever it means. That's the way I want it, under this law right here. I don't want, I don't want all these people dictating and telling me how to educate my kids and whatnot. I'm going to tell them how. Are you listening to me? That's force. And I want to impose that on the world. But it's not the gospel. Now, I'm not making them be born again. That's voluntary. But the law, the Ten Commandments, force. Are you listening to me? That's what it means to possess the land. Don't let them tell you, tolerate us. Tolerate us. Don't let them tell you that. Because that's today. Today, America is no longer a Christian nation. It's called a pluralistic society. Have you ever heard that? Well, we're a pluralistic society. Last week, I went home after preaching to you about America. And, you know, the first thing I did, I turned on the TV and I heard all these congressmen and who is it? Walter Jennings? No. Who is it? Peter Jennings? Anyway, whoever these guys are. And he was the only good guy, by the way. All the other guys are ready to sell America down the drain. They're saying things like, well, you know, the Constitution is no longer helpful to us anymore because America now has to manage the world economy. That's the new vision for America, as I listened. So these big shots that are trying to give us a new Constitution and everything, now they tell us, oh, America's job is to manage the world economy. Come on. What does America have to do with that for? Are we the emperors? Are we going to manage the world economy? That's a little big shot, isn't it? Hello? We can't even get out of debt ourselves. We're going to manage the world economy? Yeah, we are doing it. It's exactly what we're doing. We're managing the world economy. It's total chaos. You can't put the good things on this world without destroying it. Are you listening to me? If you put everybody in the world on America's standard right now, you'd destroy it within a week. The world can't stand this. Probably not understanding what I'm saying. But you can't have this kind of lifestyle we have. The world couldn't even afford it. It's too capital intensive. We would destroy the world. Don't feel so... See, the liberals always make you feel guilty, like you've got to help somebody out there. Don't help them. Hello. Just put the law out. Put the law out. Let them come through the gospel. Because if a people is not righteous, if they aren't under the law, and if they don't have Jesus to help them, they're not going to have prosperity. It'll destroy them. Show me any nation and I'll show you that they're destroyed because they're not righteous, including now our own. Now no nations are making it. But we can still make a difference in this world. How many believe that the end's going to come now? I don't. I believe we're going to make a difference before it ends. Hello? Now you don't have to believe that. You can still go to heaven. You can be wrong and go to heaven. But what I'm saying is, I believe the vision isn't fulfilled. We haven't had any fun. We have not done what we're supposed to do, which is to throw out the Girgashites and the Hivites and all those people wherever we are. Let's show them, because then they will come to Jesus. They will not come to Jesus unless they first come under the law. You're not going to come to Jesus if you don't have a law. The law is a schoolmaster that restrains them so they don't kill each other and destroy each other, so that when you preach Jesus, they receive it. Hello? Hello? Now, I want you to raise your hand if you're ready to possess the land. Whatever it means. Don't get all hung up on all the things I said. Just whatever it means, whatever the Bible means by that. How many know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And I know we're not We're not possessing land anymore in the same way, take swords and cannons and guns and knock people out of the saddle. We're not talking about that kind of dispossession. We're talking about spiritual, moral possession here. We're talking about shaping the nations. We're talking about defining the constitutions of every nation on the face of the earth. I'm talking about taking over in that regard. That is, wherever I am, if it's my school system, if it's my neighborhood, if it's a nation, it doesn't matter what it is, everything I touch, I want it to be to the glory of God. I want them to know there is a God. Amen. And that's why the prophets today are calling us back to holiness. Without holiness, we're not going to see God. He's wanting us to retrieve, to take back. So he says, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. I've given it to you. I've already paid for it. Now again, you're not going to take the whole world, I told you that. But you can take pieces of it, parts of it. Transform the business you're in. Transform the neighborhood you're in. Or as much as you can get. But you have the power to do that, don't you? Say, yes, I do. I can do that, and I will do that. And glory to God.